Yorkshire Cancer Research on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.
It is, and in Yorkshire, about 550 women are diagnosed each year. And there's 3,500 women in this county living with and beyond ovarian cancer. So it's not as rare as people think. But it is quite a difficult cancer to diagnose. So the public awareness about the signs and symptoms is probably lower than we would hope, certainly for things like breast and cervical, where there's national screening programs. Because there isn't one for ovarian, people probably aren't talking about it as much. But there are quite a lot of women who have ovarian cancer and who are diagnosed each year in this county.
And so Yorkshire Cancer Research are doing some work this month to help promote awareness, aren't they?
That's right, we are. Everything we can do to get this message across is a worthwhile endeavour, because women generally know their bodies very well and you notice when things are a little bit different. But the symptoms for ovarian cancer, because they're so vague, they can be difficult to spot. And if you're just going on in your daily life, it's sometimes things that you just think you can say there's something else. You might say they're premenstrual tension, or you might say they're irritable bowel or wind. But actually, the symptoms are quite vague, so you know your body's best. And if you've got things like persistent bloating, if you've got frequency to wee more often, if you're feeling full after food more than you would before, and if you've got any abdominal or pelvic pain, our advice is go and see your GP. Have that conversation. Just have that conversation, because it's a vague set of symptoms for this cancer, and the more people we can get paying attention to their bodies and going and have that checked out, the better.
We'll hear more from Yorkshire Cancer Research in just a few moments, but first let's hear the story of a very brave woman. Harrogate mum Jo Beagley was diagnosed with ovarian cancer. In her own words, this is her story.
I'm Jo Beagley, I'm 41. I lived in Harrogate now for 5 years. Got a young family, I've got two boys who are 6 and 8, and I'm married to Rob. The diagnosis came completely out of the blue for me. I'd felt pretty much okay in myself. I hadn't felt any sort of more tired than normal, or a sort of any mum with two young children who were inclined to get up very early in the morning. I'd taken part in the Knaresborough bed race in summer of 2014. I'd probably eased off the exercise a bit for 2 or 3 weeks after that, gave my body a bit of a break. And in that time, I noticed that I'd started to feel a little bit bloated, which in itself, you know, didn't raise any alarm bells. It was only when that was coupled with some intermittent abdominal pain that quite quickly progressed, became worse over a matter of a few days. So at that point, I contacted the out-of-hours doctor at Harrogate Hospital, who examined me, and when I told him sort of what pain I was in, he admitted me straight away with an unexplained abdominal mass. Fortunately for me, as I was an inpatient at the hospital at that point, quite quickly I went through a series of tests and scans. So within a week of me going to see the doctor, I got the formal diagnosis that I'd got ovarian cancer. I think it just triggered a complete feeling of a loss of control, because it was clearly been there for some time and I'd been leading a normal life, oblivious to the fact sort of what was going on inside me. The boys, a lot of it went over their heads at the time. They were 4 and 6 at the time they were diagnosed, but we did take the decision that we wanted to be quite upfront with them about what was happening and try and talk them through the illness and what treatment lay ahead, or what we knew in terms of the treatment plan at that time. We sought some advice in terms of how best to convey that to them. But as all children do, they're sort of very matter of fact about things. When we spoke to my son, my elder son, and sort of asked him if he knew what is cancer, he sort of turned around and said, "Oh, Grandma died of cancer, are you going to die of cancer?" Which, quite a hard question to respond to, really. But on the other hand, for me, having the children has been hugely helpful in terms of coping with my treatment, helping me to stay positive, and generally just distracting me from sort of what was going on the medical side of things. And because part of my treatment involved a hysterectomy, I was just glad that, you know, we'd got the family that we wanted, so sort of the implications of that weren't quite as far-reaching as they would have been for somebody in a similar situation who hadn't yet gone on to have family and wanted to. In the course of doing the surgery, it was apparent that the cancer had spread further than the scan had shown. I got stage 3 cancer, so it meant that going through rounds of chemotherapy was the next sensible step. So I had a 5-week recovery period after I'd had the surgery, and then embarked on 4 months of chemotherapy, objective of which was to manage rather than to cure the cancer. And sort of throughout that 4-month period, the side effects of the chemotherapy got progressively worse. And after I'd had the second cycle, I lost my hair, which for me, as vain as it sounds, that was probably the biggest thing that I found hard to handle that, really. And it just makes it very visible externally that no matter how strong you're trying to be, my perception was that everyone would know what was going on. And inevitably, then you're faced with lots of questions that perhaps you don't feel strong enough to be able to sort of take there and then. And then alongside the chemotherapy, I started on another drug that is termed a maintenance drug, and that's called Avastin, and continued with that for 16 months. So finally concluded my treatment, December just gone, in December 2015. And at the end of the treatment, I had a scan, which thankfully was clear, and it showed that the cancer for now is managed. I just got to hope it stays that way. And I'm going to continue to be closely monitored by my oncologist, and if I've got any concerns, I've got people I can sort of contact and discuss that with if I feel I need to. Going forward, it's going to be every couple of months, and I'll continue to have blood tests to monitor the tumour marker indicators, just to check that everything's stable. It's only in the last month have some of the side effects that I've experienced through treatment, so predominantly fatigue, have they started to improve, and sort of feeling as if I'm starting to return to some sort of normality, albeit it's very different from normality pre the diagnosis. And all being well, I'm hopefully going to be in a position to return to work in the next few weeks, which will be a big milestone. I feel like all that side of things has been on hold for the past 18 months. Part of dealing with going through the process of treatment, I started documenting my experience predominantly for myself, but as I wrote it, I realised that it was the sort of thing I was looking to read when I was trying to come to terms with diagnosis in the early stages, particularly somebody of a similar age going through that. And when I approached Yorkshire Cancer Research, keen to sort of share my story, they've been very supportive in terms of helping use my story to raise awareness of ovarian cancer, to help get across some of the symptoms, which I know when I was diagnosed, I'd heard of ovarian cancer, but I had no idea what symptoms might be associated with it, nor did I sort of know how widespread it was sort of as a type of cancer. So to be able to use my story to help create awareness, Yorkshire Cancer Research have been really supportive with that.
So Jo's story there. Jo was fairly fortunate in that she recognised that something was happening very early on with her body and got herself seen by an out-of-hours GP and admitted very quickly into the hospital. And ultimately, that will have affected her ongoing treatment, won't it? Catherine Scott is here, Head of Research and Innovation at Yorkshire Cancer Research. Jo was fortunate in spotting this fairly early on, but a lot of people aren't spotting it, are they?
Well, that's right. Over 40% of ovarian cancers are diagnosed in the later stages, although Jo's was stage 3, so it was one of the later stages. It's just a very difficult cancer to spot early in stage 1 and 2, and there is no national screening programme because there's no really robust method of assessment yet. Other countries are trying it at the moment, and there are some trials going on, but at the moment we don't have a robust method for screening to identify those very earliest changes and maybe even precancerous changes, as is the case in cervical cancer. Around 40% of cancers are diagnosed late, and around a third of all of these ovarian cancers, and around a third of all the ovarian cancers are actually diagnosed through an emergency presentation. And everybody knows, I think, that the earlier you get a cancer, the easier it is to treat for the vast majority of cancers, not all of them. So if you do have any concerns on those fairly vague symptoms, our first recommendation is go and talk to your GP about this.
So just to remind people, what are the vague symptoms you mentioned there?
So if there's any abdominal pain or pelvic pain or persistent bloating or frequency of needing to wee more often, or feeling full after food. And there are other symptoms as well, but they're the top 4 most common ones. But you know your body best, and if you've noticed changes and differences, then our advice is the first port of call is your GP. In the vast, vast majority of cases, it won't be a cancer. But in those cases where it is a cancer, earliest possible detection gives you the best chance of survival in the long term.
So in Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month, Yorkshire Cancer Research is doing a lot of awareness raising activity, but I believe you've also been involved in the development of a treatment.
That's right. The charity has been involved in ovarian cancer for many years, and in the early 2000s, one of our funded laboratories, one of our funded scientists, a chap called Thomas Halliday, was part of a team that discovered a drug that is now available on the market, and it's called Lynparza. And it's still in clinical trials for in combination with other therapies, but as a standalone therapy, it is now on the market. And it is giving women a new hope in ovarian cancer. So specific types of ovarian cancer where women have failed several lines of treatment, this drug is now licensed for them. But in addition, the charity is also supporting what we call a PROM study, a patient-reported outcome measure study, which is basically how people cope with this disease, how it affects their daily life, how it affects their quality of life, their mental state, their families, their carers. And we've just funded a significant piece of research at the University of Leeds that's looking into how people cope with ovarian cancer once they've been diagnosed.
Yorkshire Cancer Research are sharing Jo's blog across Ovarian Cancer Awareness Month. You can read it on their website, yorkshirecancerresearch.org.uk.
Yorkshire Cancer Research on Stray FM's Health and Wellbeing Show.